You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Brad Walden, Managing Director of the Cohesion Group. From starting his working career as a mechanical engineer to an analyst programmer and even a high school teacher, Brad began Walden Services developing custom-built software for heavy industry. However, to bring the company forward, he only recently launched the Cohesion Group to ultimately bring people together, safety and productivity for industry. Welcome, Brad, to the program.
Thanks, mate, for having me.
So as I said there in the introduction, you're the director of Cohesion. Just give us a rundown of what Cohesion is and what it does.
Yeah, look, Cohesion's a software company. We are working in the space which we refer to as applied R&D. So we're not a traditional software company where customers come to us and give us a spec and we develop software. We're very much working in the problem domain, and we're bridging the gap between problems in industry and I guess that, yeah, the difficulty in connecting with technology and using technology to solve some of those problems. So, yeah, a lot of our customers, all of our customers come to us with a problem. We work with them and we develop solutions in a very applied way, working with the front line, and then we take that and we bring that benefit to broader industry.
In relation to solving problems, I suppose, give us an example of industry. You work across a lot of heavy industry and a number of industries, really. Give us an idea, because there's a lot of the software services out there at the moment. There's a number of companies sort of applying the trade, but the whole thing here is to really be specific to each individual company and the issues that they are having. So give us a bit of an example. Don't have to name the company, but a little bit of an example of an issue and how Cohesion manages to solve those issues.
Yeah, the issues have been very diverse. They've ranged from health and safety to productivity. To give you specifics, and I guess I'll highlight the diversity of it, we've done things from, you know, very technical space in terms of managing risk around explosive dust underground and integrated planning, reducing risk around contractors and contractor management. We've even, during the pandemic of COVID, we helped one of our organisations with a self-testing application and a bit of A&I to get their cost of keeping the virus out of their operation, get that cost, you know, save them millions. So it's fairly diverse in terms of the type of problems. Yeah, very, very much about reducing risk, reducing costs, increasing productivity.
Well, when you say about reducing risk, so, you know, in the past, a lot of people used a lot of paperwork. If I'm getting that right, they used a lot of paperwork, and something might happen out in the field and, you know, for the head office to know, or even the client to know and so forth, or even other workers on site to know, it could take up to hours to 24 hours or even 48 hours sometimes until some people do know about what's going on. So what does this deliver?
Kieran, you've touched on a really, really significant point. So one of the things we found when we were consulting over the decade and a half is that there's a lot of effort goes into management processes and trying to mature management processes and bed management processes. And there's a lot of heavy industry in particular is very data rich. But they're not leveraging the value of the data they've got. They're not leveraging the value of what technology can do to help them automate processes, make processes more robust, improve communication. So we aren't necessarily doing anything cutting edge in terms of process. But what we're doing with bridging that gap between manual processes, paperwork, disconnected data, and turning it into something that's very robust, very efficient, and getting the right information into the right person's hands is, yeah, that's proving to be invaluable.
Okay, we're going to get back onto the business in a little while because it's actually a very interesting and expanding area of business these days, and a service that a lot of, you know, I do know of a lot of companies who do need it and have also taken on these type of processes. But let's just get a little bit back into yourself. So, okay, you've been working in industry for a fair while. I think I don't want to give your age away, which I say quite a bit sometimes to some of the people that I'm speaking to, including my own for that matter. Hastings Dearings in 98, but let's see, engineering trade. So how did you first start within the sector in a way?
Yeah, look, I started as a labour operator in probably more so in construction and rehabilitation. And yeah, the mechanical and systems side of things really aligned with the way my mind works. And that's why I went off and did a trade as a diesel fitter when I was, I think I started 20 year old. I was a little bit older than the other apprentices. Yeah, and from there, I've had a fairly colourful career. A good mix of all sorts of things across the industry. The mining industry, spent a bit of time in fast-moving consumer goods in the beef industry. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, well, you've got there, of course, maintenance engineer with BHP, and then you move on to... So I'm interested in a way, so you went in there, but in the relation to the tech side of it. So you've got an analyst programmer in there. Of course, we're stalking your LinkedIn, as I do with most of our guests, and then project manager and business analyst as well. So R&D software development. What makes you excited about that area of work?
It's a funny story. I was a bit rough on my body when I was younger, and I had to come off the tools because of a hip replacement. So at the time I sat back and went, my physical ability is no longer my strength. I need to start using my brain a bit. So I went to uni and did an IT degree at night. It was nothing more than I sat and I went, technology seems to be taking off, so I might do this. And that's how that all come about. And what I found is, there was a lot of, I guess, passion in how I thought about things and that very systematic type mindset and systems thinking. So, yeah, that's how that popped into the career.
Yeah, well, thinking a little bit differently, I suppose, and sometimes it's like when I speak to engineers, depending on what type of engineering they're in, sometimes it can be like pulling teeth to get a conversation out of them. I've always said engineers just like speaking to other engineers in that respect.
Yeah.
But okay then, so as you said a little bit earlier, you said in relation to that you moved also into the meat industry. And as we know, so, you know, there's a lot of industries today that need a lot of this work and the development and so forth within how that they do things and to do them better and to also turn it digital and also real time in that respect. In relation to the meat industry, what were you doing there?
Very much in the maintenance and engineering space. I was employed internally with one of the major beef producers, and my role was to improve their maintenance and work management practices across all of their facilities in conjunction with the people locally at the facility. So it was a business improvement role around maintenance.
Okay, and so it's very versatile in that respect. I'm moving around, and I'm going to go to versatility. You're a high school teacher.
Yeah, that was probably the most enjoyable job I've done.
Why is that?
The kids are awesome, funny, very, very rewarding job. It's one of those jobs where day in, day out, you get the immediate reward for your efforts. Just seeing kids learn and grow and seeing their eyes light up and their, you know, the pride when they achieve something. So, yeah, that was a very rewarding job.
So you're a design and technology teacher to Wynnum State High School. Okay, yeah. So with the kids and so forth, so like this is only a few years ago, you took a chance and you went in and you did a few things in the school, you know, try something that you thought that you would be and you did enjoy in the end. With the kids, so technology, you know, if I went back to our days, you know, we didn't, of course, when we were younger, we didn't have the digital and, you know, I remember even when a bloody remote control came out for the TV, even though they were existing and so forth. And also, yeah, believe it or not, I remember the whole entire street coming to our house in about 1977, 78, just because we were the only ones who had a colour TV and Star Wars was being played. I was very young at that time, so I'm not too old, people. But how did the kids take on everything today? So design and technology teacher, also about 5-6 years ago now that you did do that. What was that like and how did the kids sort of embrace that? Because I'm sort of imagining that for a lot of those kids it would be very interesting for them to move forward rather than like history or geography.
Yeah. Look, it was actually probably, I'm glad I wasn't a maths English teacher. It was probably an easier area to work in because it was much easier to get the kids engaged. So it varied. I didn't do any digital technology teaching during that time. It was design and then a lot of the traditional manual arts. But yeah, much easier to get kids to engage in something like that than sitting in a classroom where they're just learning theory. You could really embed the theory in something meaningful to them.
Okay, interesting. I know I have a few teachers and sometimes they hate it, sometimes they love it and sometimes they despise it in that respect, depending on, again, it's a state school system, so it can always be interesting when we work with government, can't it? But, okay, from there on, so as I said at the start of the program, you're the director of Cohesion. However, you're also the director of Walden Services. And Walden Services sort of is morphing into Cohesion at the moment in some respects. But first give us, we'll get onto that, but first give us in relation to Walden Services starting your own business. So 2006 you've got there, Walden Services. So you've always been sort of doing it for a long way. For a long while. Okay, let's go back to 2006. We're jumping back. You were running a business in the background of Walden Services. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, Walden Services come about, I guess I saw the need. I saw the need in the business improvement space. There was a lot of, having worked internally with some of the big businesses, you see a lot of consulting companies come in with and leave a lot of advice behind, but there wasn't people executing. So you get the next lot of consultants come by and they'd give the same advice because nothing had been done. So I went out into business with, I guess, the mission that I would be a person who executes. Not that I steered away from giving advice, but my priority was let's deliver. There's something that needs to be improved. Let's see it through. Let's measure the benefits of it. So, yeah, we spent a decade and a half as asset management and project management consultants really focused on the delivery and execution side of consulting.
Yeah, it's interesting in relation where you said advice and the advice people give and they get away. I actually call them advice monsters because what I find is really, you know, just about 98.9% of advice is not worth listening to because it has a problem. And as you said, it is all about the execution. So give us a little bit of an idea how that business has grown from the early days up to, well, really now.
Yeah, look, we very much followed market booms and busts, to be honest. I guess there's been a bit of maturing, a lot of professional growth on my behalf in terms of what business is all about. So the early days, we very much followed the boom and bust of industry. We've matured a lot more. We have a 10-year outlook now and a very strategic approach to things. Size of the business during the consulting years fluctuated since we've pivoted and focused on the technology side of things and that whole applied R&D, bridging the gap between problems and technology. We're seeing really stable, steady growth. So over the last 3 years, we've gone through pretty much double growth each year, and that's looking like the way going forward for the foreseeable future.
Okay, and you are now morphing into Cohesion, so Walden Services, which offered a number of services that Cohesion does now, but you've expanded that into the sector and so forth, and you've also got a whole team behind you. So let's get on to, let's first start at the Cohesion Suite and what that does.
Yeah, look, the Cohes and Suites a cloud platform that we're doing all of our applied R&D with our customers on. So every time we develop a solution to solve a problem for a specific customer, it goes into our platform as a generic offering for any customer. So it's an ever evolving platform. We're not on the bleeding edge of technology. We like to stay just behind it. But yeah, we're certainly well versed with cloud computing and AI and mobility.
What's the reason in there to I can envisage, and that's the reason why I'm asking. But what's the reason in there of just staying just behind the technology?
Yeah, look, there's a few things. One's operationally. If you keep going chasing every new bit of shiny technologies that is about, you need a really, really diverse skill set, and operationally things become a lot more complex. The other thing is we've really focused on the business domain rather than the technology domain, business domain first. And we find if we have this mindset of being on the cutting edge of technology, we're too technology focused. And so we end up with a team full of people that are purely technologists, which doesn't help us bridge the gap.
I could imagine that would also, in relation to your clients as well, the whole point is for them to be able to use the technology. And if it keeps on changing, it's just very difficult for them in the end as well.
Yep.
It's interesting. So okay then, just so it's people management, safety, and productivity within the Cohesion suite. Again, give us a little bit of an example. How do you go into a business and start working with them?
To date, it's all been word of mouth. All of our work has come from word of mouth. Either someone has come across us previously and knows that we can help them solve a problem, or someone's mentioned it to someone else. So when we go in, we really spend a lot of time trying to understand what it is they're trying to solve. A lot of times when you go into a business, they talk to you about the solution straight up. So it's a bit of a challenge to get customers to park that and just go, yeah, it could be a good solution what you're talking about, but let's go back to what is the problem that you're trying to solve and really understanding that problem first, just to make sure we get the right solution.
Give an example of a problem that some of these companies are experiencing.
So I'll give you the contractor management one. The business we were working with engaged us to help roll out a framework around contractor management that had a few incidents and fatalities globally and around contractors. So the business at a corporate level had put policy in place that needed to be implemented. So they engaged us to help with that. You know, how do we implement this policy in a practical and pragmatic way? So we unpack what needs to be achieved at the end, what their current barriers are to it, and then from there really work with the frontline people. A lot of prototyping, putting stuff in their hands early so that we can get feedback as to, you know, is this the right user experience? Is it achieving what it needs to achieve until you get to the end? And you probably never get to the end, but until you get to the point where, yep, we're ticking the boxes here in terms of achieving what we've set out to achieve.
Okay, and the second part of Cohesion, so you've got, as it says here on your website, offers two pathways to success. The second part is the Cohesion Group. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, so this is the consulting side of things, Kieran. We're slowly building up our team of specialists that I guess can go in and have a look at things in terms of, you know, problem solution. And that's the bit I was just talking about.
Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit further then in relation to what we just talked about. And so Walden Services, Cohesion Group and so forth. Yeah, Walden Services, since 2006, you've been slowly building that up. It's not easy. It's not easy building a business, and you have diversified. Let's just a little bit about why you're diversifying from Walden to Cohesion.
That's a great question. We were limited. We were limited in what we could achieve. So it was very, mate, I'm going to dance around this one a little bit. You've asked a great question. So we were, as consultants, we were limited in terms of how effective the solution we could put in place and how sustainable it was. And that's where our interest in technology and software came into the equation. The move from Walden Services to Cohesion was very much a branding thing and setting up a specific product-based business. Obviously, Walden Services, not a very creative name.
After yourself.
At
least you've created a business that's now sellable in the future.
Yeah. So, yeah, the move to Cohesion was very much about setting up a new structure, very different operating model to what a consulting business is. So it was about setting that up, starting with a nice, clean platform, nice, clean brand, obviously bringing the IP across from Walden Services into Cohesion and, yeah, getting the right people into the organisational structure to take us forward.
And that's not an easy thing to do in the end. You're the one pulling it all together. You're the one who has to get out of bed. You're the one who's responsible and so forth, and you've got a number of people relying on you. You've got the dream, the vision, and you've got to move people along with that. How do you manage to achieve that? What motivates you?
The people around me, to be honest. There's times that are obviously really challenging, not so much anymore, but really challenging in that I feel like I've had the weight of the world on my shoulders carrying everything. But I've got a really, really good team of people around me where the momentum's starting to really, really pick up, and I can step back and put a lot more time looking at things from a strategic perspective rather than having to be the person doing things, solving things, putting systems in place. I've got a lot of good people around me, and to be honest, I get pumped up when I see them doing awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it, actually, and it shows how the business is growing as well, and to be able to step back a little bit and rely on the people that you have put in place, and that's exactly what you've hired them for in the end to do. To believe in them and drive them forward. And ultimately, that's leadership in that respect. Well, believe it or not, Brad, we are at the end of the Connecting Industry podcast. If people do want to get onto Brad, go to cohesion.com.au and he'll be able to get in contact with you, or you'll be able to get in contact with him, more to say. But thank you very much, Brad, for joining us today.
Thanks, mate.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kira Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.